From Pioneer 90.1 in Thief River Falls, this is Minnesota Music Memories, a musical time machine featuring the sounds of the 50s, 60s, and 70s from the land of 10,000 lakes. Minnesota Music Memories, supported by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Welcome to Minnesota Music Memories. I'm your host, Carl Unbehound. Minnesota Music Memories may be heard every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. on KSRQ, Pioneer 90.1 in Thief River Falls. And the show may be heard live and archived on RadioNorthland.org. Welcome to our second in a five-part series on Minnesota supergroup, Gypsy. Fans of Gypsy will recognize our lead-in song as Gypsy Queen, Part 1, a song that reached number 64 on the Billboard charts back in 1970. Several months ago, we told you about this supergroup, Gypsy, and played selected songs from their Gypsy album from 1970, which retailed for a whopping $5.98. A little-known fact, Gypsy's first recording was a double album, only the third ever recorded, the first in 1966 by the Mothers of Invention, and the second in 1969 by Chicago Transit Authority. From the Gypsy album, only one single was released, and that was Gypsy Queen Part 1 as the A-side and Dead and Gone, a song Jim Johnson calls Dead and Long as the B-side. Both songs were written by Rico Rosenbaum and were severely shortened for AM radio format. My vinyl copy bit the dust years ago, but I'm happy to say that I have a CD nestled between Guess Who and Hall & Oates in my CD rack. The backstory of this group is of another group called the Underbeats, who ruled Twin City dance floors in the 1960s. On January 1st, 1965, the Underbeats debuted at Bill's Roller Skate Rink in St. Paul, Minnesota. The band was flying high with guitarists Jim Johnson and Rico Rosenbaum, bassist Donnie Larson, and drummer Tom Nystrom. Then Jim Johnson won an all-expenses-paid trip to Vietnam. To ensure that the group would be there for him when he returned from the service, Jim plugged Wally Walstead in on guitar and James Owl Walsh from the Hot Half Dozen on keys. In 1968, Johnson mustered out of the Army and rejoined the group. Exit Walstead. Now the Underbeats act is rife with vocals and instrumentation and ready for the next big thing. California. The Underbeats got their break when they replaced Chicago Transit Authority as the house band at the Whiskey A Go-Go on Sunset Strip. Owner Elmer Valentine walked down the street to hear the boys perform at Gazzari's and liked what he heard. Accounts differ, but it appears that it was during their gig at the Whiskey that a new name, Gypsy, was chosen along with a new sound. Jim Johnson is adamant that bassist Donnie Larson came up with the name. In a 2010 interview by Tom Campbell, Jim Johnson also states that they were scared to death to take the job at the Whiskey. Before recording their eponymous first album, Flower Child Jay Epstein took over on drums. Then came two record offers, one from Giant Atlantic Records and one from the upstart Metro Media, run by the Volando brothers, which sprouted from Metro Media Producers Corporation, a TV production company which gave us Truth or Consequences and the Merv Griffin Show. According to keyboardist Walsh, we were afraid of getting lost in the shuffle of a big company like Atlantic. Well, let's hear track one from In the Garden. It's titled Around You.
your toe.
Metromedia it was, and how could you blame the boys after all? Bobby Sherman was in the Metromedia Corral along with the Winstons, remember Color Him Father, the Hillside Singers, Clay Hart of Lawrence Welk fame, Frankie Avalon, Julia LaRosa, Sergio Franchi, Peter Allen, and Chill Wills, even a 1969 group called Nirvana. And another bit of trivia, Preston Epps of Bongo Rock fame added percussion to the first album. Metromedia signed Julio Ayeo to supervise the recording sessions, and they spared no expense on studio equipment. Julio was a likable and adept producer with only one flaw. He was unable to rein the boys in. For AM format, the songs were much too long. In retrospect, Jim Johnson feels the songs were also too complicated. He stated that Gypsy's music was for musicians, too complicated for the average listener, and musicians don't buy records. An interesting fact is that the double album was not planned. Iao liked the song so much that they spilled over to a second platter. According to Jim Johnson, the band missed Woodstock due to the rigorous recording schedule. Studio work was grueling. Rico would bring in an idea, then Jim and Owl would add to it. There was never conflict because Julio was the decider. In the fall of 1970, Gypsy was released at a whopping budget of $45,000. Now, Johnson says it was $38,000, but even with inflation, a paltry figure today. Rosenbaum discovered the artwork of Alphonse Mucha's, and Metromedia obtained the rights to it. Gypsy's first album cover still stands as epic among others. Metromedia called on Clark Burrows for Gypsy's second album, titled In the Garden, on which a smaller version of Mucha's artwork graces the cover, even though Johnson never liked the cover. According to him, Burrows had previously worked with the Association, so lush vocals were right up his alley. Jerry Varnes was the engineer. With four of the songs being 4 minutes or shorter, In the Garden was geared more toward the AM market. Gypsy would travel back to the Twin Cities, performing with a great reception at places such as St. Catharines, Labor Tempo, and the Depot. While in the Twin Cities, the guys heard Willie Weeks and Bill Lorden performing with Michael's Mystics. Willie Weeks replaced a disillusioned Larson on bass, and Bill Lorden took over for Epstein on drums, both playing on In the Garden along with Joe Lalla on congas. But to this day, Jim Johnson points out that Donnie Larson was certainly good enough for Gypsy. The band toured the U.S., including Hawaii. In Johnson's words, day and night became the same as they played and recorded constantly, and it, quote, got to be a chore sometimes. Let's hear track two from In the Garden. This one's titled Reach Out Your Hand. You're listening to Minnesota Music Memories. Billboard review of Gypsy's second album for the week ending July 31, 1971, read, "This group has matured greatly with this second album. The basic music is structured much like the first LP, but the sound is more together, and the organ, played by Jimmy Walsh, seems to be the focal point of the group's maturity. As Far As You Can See is an enchanting education, while the second side of the LP contains One View of Paradise, entitled Here in the Garden, and two other explicitly religious tunes. Ah, the infamous second or flip side of the album, usually reserved for more introspective songs. I think that's the one flaw in CDs. They give you no pause to consider the first side while flipping over the album. But I digress. Track three is As Far As You Can See, As Much As You Can Feel. Give a listen.
We'll be right back. As much as you can feel, there is still a way. If you have the
search for right and wrong. We search for what is gone. We learn when it's too late. We answer love with hate. Tears fall somewhere.
Listening to Minnesota Music Memories from KSRQ Pioneer 90.1 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. I'm your host, Carl Unbehan, and reminding you that Minnesota Music Memories is made possible through a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and we are truly appreciative for the support we get from that organization. Now, as far as you can see, as much as you can feel, the song we just played was the A-side to the only single released from Gypsy's In the Garden album. At 12 minutes and 6 seconds, it was much too long for a 45 single, but the band cleverly used the middle section, ditching the beginning and ending instrumental movements so that it would fit on a single. Up next, the B-side titled Here in the Garden, Part 1, then we're going to follow that with Here in the Garden, Part 2. Thank you. Gypsy was originally managed by Rosenbaum's high school friend Steve Freeman. When they returned to L.A., they changed management. The first album was recorded at Devonshire Studios in North Hollywood. The second, In the Garden, was done at Larrabee Studios. Jim Johnson arranged the songs but didn't get album credit for it. He says that Twin City Studios had all the right equipment but not the knowledge as to how to use it. Jim remembers Larrabee Studios having a synthesizer-type instrument called the Mellotron and added that the musicians' union banned them because they put vocalists and musicians out of work. Well-known arranger Jimmy Haskell arranged strings and even played accordion on one song on In the Garden. Rico wrote all the songs on the album. Here's one called Blind Man. Metro Media Records failed to promote the first two Gypsy albums in the fashion they deserved, Both went out of print and are highly sought after, even though they've been released in CD format. I want to thank Tom Campbell for much of the source information for this show. Tom's website, www.minipaulmusic.com, does an amazing job chronicling the 50s, 60s, and 70s Minnesota music scene. He's to be commended for his stellar work. Now, in the interview we mentioned earlier, Jim Johnson states that he was... Now, in the interview with Tom Campbell, Jim Johnson states that it was tough getting airplay in L.A., but the band was played extensively in the Midwest, especially in St. Louis, where they enjoy popularity and airplay even to this day. Jim Johnson says that Rosenbaum, Walsh, and he layered vocals and harmonies, often changing off who sang low, middle, and high parts. The final cut on the original release of In the Garden by Gypsy is a song called Time Will Make It Better, a title that proved to be true. As I mentioned earlier, this is the second in a five-part series showcasing Twin City supergroup Gypsy. On the next show, we'll learn of more personnel changes, which led to the making of Gypsy's Antithesis album, and we'll share information on their concert tours. As a surprise, we thought we'd toss in a bonus track, which was added to In the Garden when it was re-released on Bedrock Records back in 2000. This tune is a nod to the past, titled 20 Years Ago.
Something about you I can't explain. Compared to the others, you're not the same. I picked you up when you were down. Wasn't it fun when I was around? Sometimes you're tired of waiting.
Sometimes you get tired of feeling alone, while I just keep on rolling on. You just keep on keeping on. Born with the power of a locomotive, focused on dreams until they give in. If I could pop the water, they'd call me Moses. As I walk past you, as I walk out the door, I feel like I don't know you. Love is trying all the right move. I don't know if I can find the time. I've got a glimpse of the truth today. I realize that fighting's no good. Is your head just filled with memories of a love that means so much to me? If I
for joining us this evening on Minnesota Music Memories, leaving you with The Vision from Gypsy's first self-titled album, a song Jim Johnson says is his favorite. Please join my co-host Glenn Broggett next Thursday for another Minnesota Music Memories.